serious with God. And you know what? I believe the results would be, if we want God to get serious about our life and our needs, I believe He will if we'll get serious with Him. In fact, I know He will, because it's in the Bible. And I want to start off with this scripture from James, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 5, as ample evidence and proof. Reading, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace." Listen to that. "But giveth grace unto the humble." I want to stop there a minute. I want to reemphasize that. God resisteth the proud. Did you know why that most Christians don't get something from God? Because God resists them. They've got pride in their life. Egotism, selfishness. There's a lot of words for pride. And when you have pride in your life, God resists you, but He gives grace to the humble. Then all these old cocky, arrogant, haughty Christians crying out there in grace. Oh, no, they're not. Verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. And I think we could paraphrase that very correctly, truthfully, and say, get serious with God, and He will get serious with you. Praise God. Well, let me read it right. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Get serious with God, and He'll get serious with you. And here's getting serious. Here's what you do. Verse 8, James 4, the middle clause. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." He's not talking to unregenerate sinners. He's talking about Christians who sin. "Cleanse your hands, you sinning Christians, and purify your hearts, you double-minded Christians," that is. "Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God," or the Lord. That means get serious with God. "And He shall lift you up." Hey, wouldn't you rather for God to lift you up than you to try to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps? You'd be a lot better off when God gets ready to lift you up. You remember the story of Esther, the book of Esther in the Old Testament, how that Mordecai sat in the gate of the king, and how they fasted 3 days and three nights because Haman wanted to destroy the Jews and the world far-flung empire of Ahasuerus, the king. And Mordecai finally won the seat of prime minister from Haman because God reversed that terrible law that Haman had the king to sign unwittingly to kill all the Jews on a certain day. God reversed it because of their fasting and prayer. And then when Haman came into the court to ask the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he put out in his front yard to get rid of his enemy, the king God was dealing with him, and he was in the court. And that night when the king, while they were fasting, the Jews were fasting for their lives, and he couldn't sleep. God took his sleep away from him. And while he couldn't sleep, he didn't want any food, he didn't want any musicians around him, he just wanted quiet. And he says to one of his chamberlains, "Bring the Chronicles out and read them to me." That's the governmental records. Just what's been going on around here for the last few weeks, I haven't read, haven't caught up. So they begin to read the Chronicles, and he came to a place where his two chamberlains were going to assassinate him. And Mordecai had found out about the plot and sent to the king to warn him. Esther found it out, but she certified it in the name of Mordecai. And the king stopped. The chamberlain says, "What honor hath been done for Mordecai the Jew, for saving my life?" And the chamberlain says, "Nothing, O king." He says, "Oh, Lord," says, "who's in the court?" And about that time, here comes that old wicked Haman. You see God through fasting and prayer working out divine deliverance. He says, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, said, What would you think ought to be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? He thought to himself, oh, who could it be? It had to be me. So he said, the man that the king delights to honor ought to be, he ought to have the king's robe and the crown put on his head, and he ought to have the most honorable prince in his kingdom to take the king's chariot and lead him through the city and blow the trumpet and say, this is a man whom the king delighteth to honor. He said, do everything you said for Mordecai the Jew. Oh, Lord. Backfire. You can see how God can honor you, and it's a lot better than you trying to honor yourself. Haman honored himself. He exalted himself. You remember Jesus said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalteth himself shall be abased, pushed down. I like God's exaltation. I'll take it and wait patiently till God gets ready for any honor or exalting that may come my way. And here's the words of James. You know, this fellow's a brother, Jesus. He knew what he's talking about. Jesus said it in different words. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Get serious with God. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Get serious with God, and he will get serious with you when you have a need or you're in trouble. Get serious with God. All right. The Lord said to get serious. And God's not playing, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes God's people plays. And you've heard the little proverb. It says, the mice's play when the rat's away. When the pastor's away, the children want to play. Well, that happened one time. I called this attention to you last night, by the way, in prayer meeting. But I want to bring it into the message today for the sake of many more folks that will hear it than just the ones that were in prayer meeting last night. And that's from Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verses 1 through 6, where God's people played, the mice's played while the rat was away. Well, I don't want to call Moses a rat, but the Christians played when the man of God was away. Exodus 32 and 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron, here's the assistant pastor, a panty waist, a wimp. That's what churches are filled with today. What happened? He said to him, break them golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. Now, don't gloat, some little idolater now. See, you see there? All them church people had earrings. Yeah, but God didn't like it. God still don't like it, and God's never going to like it. Amen. On you, your wife, your mama, your daughter, or any of your kinfolks. You don't like them stinking old jewels and mess hanging on your body, which is the temple of God. So all the people break off their golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received them and fashioned it with a graving tool, for he had made a golden calf, a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Remember, this is the assistant pastor. This wasn't the real man of God, Moses. Where was Moses? Woo! You read the last verse of the preceding chapter, Exodus 31. He was up on Mount Horeb, and it says, God gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with a finger of God. God's laws on two tables of stone. 40 days he'd been on that mountain with God. When he came down, his face shone so brightly, the children of Israel had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't stand to look at him. Praise God. All right. Now, verse 5, Exodus 32. Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast for the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, verse 6 says, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. I'm going to tell you one thing. They played, but God wasn't playing. What he did to them, he wasn't playing. When he plagued them and sent diseases and epidemics and destruction upon them for that stinking golden calf they made. People read that today and they like to get all spirit of reveling and idolatry upon them. Said, see there, they had earrings and rings and jewels and bracelets on them. Yeah, but you start off to the 33rd chapter of Exodus when God's fixing to do something, and listen what he said. The Lord said to Moses, go up hence, and the people which you brought out of Egypt, which I swear unto Abraham, and I'll send an angel before thee. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God hated them stinking jewels hanging on the bodies of them men and women and children. He despised them. That was an abomination to God. Now listen to this. Verse 4. And when the people heard those evil tidings, they mourned, and no man put on him his jewels. That didn't mean just men. It meant the people didn't put their jewels on, their ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. You can come into God's presence in them stinking idolatrous garbs that them people had on.